Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would now come and speak to us and open our eyes so that we can see the truth, our minds so that we will accept the truth, and our ears so that we can hear the truth. Let us put everything out of our mind now, Lord, but you. We know that you are present with us. You are here, right here, and right now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, the one who is resurrected from the dead, the one whose spirit now lives within each one of us. Amen. What kind of relationship do you think God wants with us? Now, Jesus gives a beautiful description of the type of relationship that he wants when he tells us about the vine and the branches. And this is what he says. I no longer call you because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you for everything that I learned from my Father. Now, if you read that entire section of the vine and the branches when Jesus is talking to his disciples, basically he starts out and he says, you are my disciples. You're my followers. Then he goes in and says, now you're my servants. And then at the very end, he says, no, you're not my disciples any longer. You're no longer servants that just do my will without understanding it. But now you are my what? Friends. Because being a friend, you know the things that I want you to know. You know the spiritual truths that I am placing within you and giving to you. Turn to someone and say, I am a friend of God. Turn the other way. The reason I said that, I saw John turn toward the wall. I thought, well, I can't do that. As a friend, God will reveal spiritual truths to us that we cannot understand on our own. In order to understand the truth of God, we must be a friend of God. Look at James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will do what? When you look at Adam and Eve's relationship, you know, it was really quite unique and special. It was close. There was no religion. There was no church. There were no rituals. There were no regulations. They had one rule to follow. And all there was friendship, where God would come amongst them, Adam and Eve, and they would fellowship together. They would talk with one another. They enjoyed their relationship with one another. There were no regulations. There was no specified religion that you had to talk with these and those and follow these regulations and those rules. And there was none of that. There was no church. All there was a friendship. That's all they had, was a friendship. In Isaiah, God says, I am tired of your sacrifices. I want a relationship. Today he may say, I'm tired of you just going to church. I want a relationship. Adam and Eve delighted in God, and God delighted in Adam and Eve. And did you know that not many in the Old Testament were called friends of God? There's a handful. Abraham was called a friend of God. Moses was called a friend of God. David, Enoch, Job, those people were called friends of God. But many of the Old Testament believers believed because they were afraid of God. There was this mystery about God that if you didn't follow his rules, he would zap you and you worshiped him out of fear, not love and friendship. But when Jesus came, Jesus changed everything. You know, that's what Jesus does. Jesus changes everything. Did you know that in the temple, there was a veil that came across a part of the temple where you could be seated, but the thought process was behind that veil was the Holy of Holies, and that's the place that God lived. And nobody could go back into that Holy of Holies except one time a year, and that was the priest. And they would tie a rope around the priest, and he would have bells on. And when he would walk in, they wanted to make sure that he was not full of sin, because if he was, God would strike him dead. And if they didn't hear those bells ringing, they'd pull him out because he'd know he'd died. Then they send somebody else in. I want to be the second person going in, would you? Kind of a strict religion, wasn't it? A veil that was put up, and the only way that you could get to God was through a priest, one person that was able to go in and go into the Holy of Holies one time a year. But when Jesus died, Scripture says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. It separated in two, saying that no longer would we be divided from God. No longer would we not have access to God. But as of that moment, we had direct access to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you can't buy direct access from God. You can't earn direct access from God. That is a gift from God that's called grace. John 15:15 says that the God of the universe wants me as his friend. Can you imagine that? Think about this. The God who has set the stars in the sky, set the sun where it is, put the universe to where it all works together, has all this tremendous knowledge and power and might. He wants me as his buddy. He wants you as his buddy too. Look at Exodus 34:14. I want to show you how serious God is about our relationship. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a... Did you know that God gets jealous over our relationships? If we are friends with the God of lust, God is jealous. If we are friends with the God of money, God gets jealous. If we are friends with the God of popularity, God gets jealous. If we are friends with the God of pleasure, God gets jealous. It breaks God's heart when we replace his friendship with an alternate love. Why? Because God is passionate about our relationship. God is passionate about his love for you. Look at Hosea 6:6. I'm after that last. No more religion. I want you to not go to more prayer meetings. I love this. I'm after love that lasts. I don't want just religion. I want you to know me, and I don't want you to go to more prayer meetings. I want you to love me and know my ways and enjoy the relationship. Let me fill you with my spirit so I can teach you and show you and guide you and love you and provide for you and give you a life that's full of abundant joy. Let me do that for you, God is saying. I don't care about all your prayer meetings if you're going there and you're not growing in your relationship. I want you to know me and love me. And that's really part of our purpose of life, is to know and love God. You see, you were created to be a friend of God. That's why you were created. He wants to be your friend. After the resurrection, Paul would go to synagogues where they still had the veil up, and he would get scripture, and he would stand before the Jews in the synagogues, and he would read scripture about the Messiah in the Old Testament, and then he would explain to them how Jesus was the true resurrected Messiah. Wouldn't you like to hear some of those words that he told those people? He even went to towns like Athens, Greece, and he got gathered a bunch of people around him that went to that were worshiping idols, and in their service he went in and explained to them who Jesus. Wouldn't you like to know what he said to them? Yeah? Well, okay, let's listen to it. Pull it up. This is what he says to the Greeks in Athens. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Now remember, they've got all these idols that have been made by man's hands out amongst this worship place, this building. And here comes Paul. He's in the middle of it, and he's telling them, let me tell you a little bit about my God. Let me tell you a little bit about my friend. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He's not in your church. He's not behind the veil. He's everywhere. He's in the church. He's outside the church. He's in every person who believes in him. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now, how is this possible? God wants me as a friend. God is invisible. I'm visible. God is all-knowing. I know nothing. God is perfect. I am imperfect. God is strong. I am weak. Yet he wants me as his friend. How does a flawed, visible, weak person have a relationship with an invisible, all-knowing, powerful, perfect God? Pause for effect. There's five ways that we can be a friend of God. Are you ready? You might want to write them down. Number one, make knowing God your first priority. How to be a friend of God. Make knowing God your first priority. Look at Philippians 3:8. I consider everything I lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. The Bible tells us to seek God first in all that we do, and that should be our daily purpose. I want to love you more, and I want to know you better. I want to love you more, and I want to know you better. If we get up every morning on the side of our bed, and we start our day off with saying, Lord, if nothing else happens today, I want to love you more today, and I want to know you better. Let my life, something go on in my life today where I can love you more and know you better. That's the purpose of life, by the way. And if you don't hear anything else I've said, pay attention to this one thing. You ready? I am as close to God as I choose to be. I am as close to God as I choose to be. We choose who our friends are. We choose if he's going to be our best friend. We choose how close we get to God. It's our choice. You know, you can tell what is important to a person by what they brag about. If their job is important to them, you'll hear them brag about their job. If money's important to them, you'll hear them brag about money. If travel is important to them, you'll hear them brag about travel. I was in California last week and was at a dinner meeting, and I'm sitting there, and they're talking about travel. Well, I've been, you know, several places in the world, but mostly it's, you know, the plants that we own. And they're talking about, well, Mike, have you ever been to Chile? No, I've never been to Chile. You never been trout fishing in that part of the world? No, never been trout fishing that part of the world. Well, Mike, what about Tahiti? You ever been? I've never been to Tahiti. Oh, you got never been there. Well, Mike, have you been? I was just lost. I was not there. I wasn't part of it. But when they started talking about grandkids, I have the best grandkid story of all time with Isabella and the police and her granddaddy. So I was an immediate hit when it came to grandchildren, so I fit in. But you know what people is important, what's important to people by what they brag about. Look at Jeremiah 9:23-24. Let not the wise of their wisdom or the strong boast of their strength or the rich boast of their riches. But, boy, that's a good run-on word. But let the one who boasts that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord. God says, don't boast about your personal achievements. Boast about me. How about this? Next time somebody's boasting about, man, I got a great job. I got a big job. Well, really, guess what? I'm a friend of God. Well, I got a lot of money. Well, you know what? I'm a friend of God. Well, I'm really good at sports. I can play golf real well. Well, you know what? I'm a friend of God. How about if we boast about who's our friend? I am a friend of God. Now, let me tell you how you can tell if God is not your best friend. You ready? This is how you can tell if God is not your best friend. Do you worry? Do you worry? If you worry, it's a sign that we're not a friend of God, because we're saying that we don't trust God's plan for our life. So make God your first priority if you want to be a friend of God. Number two, if you want to be a friend of God, slow down and be quiet. You have to make time for friends. We will never have God as a best friend if we just come to church for 1 hour on Sunday morning and then we go out and we forget about him. Look at Matthew 6, 5 through 6 for the Message Bible. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense his grace. We have to make time for God as we would make time for a friend. So what this is saying is that make time for him. Jesus is saying, I want you to go and find a place that is quiet place, that you won't be role-playing, you won't be praying in front of friends. I just want to talk with you, just you and God, a friendship. And you can talk to him and make time for him and be simple and honest with him as you would any friend when you're talking with him. Number three, decide whose friendship you want most. Who do you want to be your best friend? We know sports scores, and we know stock market prices, and we know how to fish and hunt and baseball rules. But what does our best friend want? You know what God wants? He wants us to love people and hate the value system, but unfortunately, we love the value system and hate people. Friends care about what's important to their friend. If God is our friend, we're going to care about the things that God cares about. Now look at James 4:4. Your Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that in the relationship with God that you can cheat on him? You know, he talks about the relationship like a marriage. He talks about the relationship like a family. You're cheating on God if all you want is flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. I can't be a friend of God if I act like the devil, or if I'm self-centered, or if I love money, or if I love power. You know, and non-Christians don't understand. They think that we obey God out of fear, but and that we're restricted to live by certain rules and laws that doesn't make life fun, but it's right the opposite. We don't obey God because we have to. We obey God because we want to, that because we love him, and because he has changed our want-tos. Before God, my want-to was quite different than after loving God. It's different. My want-to before is much different than my want-to after knowing Christ. How do I know I'm a friend of God? When my want-tos have been changed. Number four, if you want to be a friend of God, maintain constant conversation. You can talk to God anytime, in meetings, while you drive, in an argument. That's a great time to talk to God when you're in an argument. Lord, give me the words to say to this person who is mad at me or that I'm mad at. Give me the words, Lord. You can pray to God anytime. The Muslims are told to pray 5 times a day. We as Christians are told to pray without ceasing. Talk to God all the time. And I wonder if our relationship with God would be better if we talk to him as much as we text. Maybe we ought to put a phone number in there for God. So that would be a great way to talk to God. Put a phone number in there for him and text him. And when he answers back, and I want to hear about it. And then number five, if you want to be a friend of God, you have to trust God in your pain. There's a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. A friend you will trust. We're told to cast all our cares on him. The more honest we are with God, the deeper the relationship. You see, it's all right when you're talking with God to gripe, to complain, to fuss. It's okay. He's a friend. And I have to tell you, God can handle it. So if you want to be a friend of God, here we go. Number one, make knowing God your first priority. Number two, slow down and be quiet. Number three, decide whose friendship you want most. Number four, maintain a constant conversation. Number five, trust God in your pain. You know, Job was a man who loved God. and he was called a friend of God. And in Job 29, 4 through 8, this is what he says. And maybe some of us this morning are like Job. Maybe our relationship with God has become stale. Maybe our relationship with God is not close. But this is what he says. Job 29, 4 through 8. Oh, how I long for the good old days. When God took such very good care of me, he always held a lamp before me and I walked through the dark by its light. Oh, how I miss those golden years when God's friendship graced my home, when the Mighty One was still by my side, when everything was going my way and nothing seemed too difficult. You see, today is the day for you to say, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to make you first. I want my friendship with you to be more important than anything else in my life. I want to constantly talk with you. I want to trust you, Lord, when I'm going through tough times. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you and just can't tell you enough how much we're so pleased that you have chosen us to be friends. Father, we pray that you would help us to be better friends. Lord, that if we're not choosing you first in the part of our life, let us know it here this morning and touch our hearts and let us know that if we want to have a better life, we need to choose you first. If we want to have a better marriage, we need to choose you first. If we want to have a better job, we need to choose you first. If we want to have better friendships and relationships, we need to choose you first. That everything starts with you. You are the beginning and the end of everything in our lives. So Lord, I pray that we would choose you first. And Lord, let us then make time for you. Let us talk to you all the time. And Lord, may we trust you if we're going through difficult times. So this morning I pray, Lord, if you have spoken to us and we are not a friend, may today be the day that we say, Lord, take me. I'm yours. I want to be your friend. I want to understand spiritual truths. I want to be your friend. I want you to guide me. I want you to love me. I want you to give me peace that passes all understanding, Lord. I want to be your friend. Well, it's in Jesus' name we pray.